The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another Kiefer and Curry until we were so rudely interrupted just a minute ago. It must have been something Kip was saying because the power just blinked. And so we're back at it.
That's my right. Friend.
You were talking about on Need to Know, and I'm bringing this up for a reason. Then I want to talk about some Super Bowl action with you. What a horrible game that was, but there were some good things that came out of it. But you were talking on Need to Know about the constitutional. What now? What were you talking about?
Well, the Democrats, Tony, as I mentioned, somehow they get the word out to use exactly the same term. Every one of them says it in every sentence. Somebody says, "How's the weather?" Pretty good, but we have a constitutional crisis right now. How's your grandchildren? Well, you know, I'm really worried about their future because of the constitutional crisis that Trump's responsible for. I don't know if they have carrier pigeons or decoder rings or how that works, but they stick to a theme. They vote the same on every issue. They're like the Stepford Wives. They are just programmed to do exactly what they're told, and there's never a discouraging word.
Well, my daughter comes up to me yesterday. She's 12, right? And kids are only kids really don't get into politics, not unless they're going to be president one day. And I guess they're into it really, really. You were probably into politics when you were 6 or 7 years old. You were probably reading the Constitution when you were like 9 or something. But anyway, so my daughter says something about all these government people losing their jobs. She heard me doing another show with Michael Coleman from the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We were talking about, and I said, first of all, nothing's happened yet. I said, because everything's going to get attacked. We're going to go to court through all this stuff. Judges have already said, you can't do this, blah, blah, blah. So it's just these executive orders that he put up. You know, maybe 10% of them will stick, but you got to start somewhere. And he said, I'm going to do it. And he's doing it. He's sticking to his word. He's like, I'm going to do it. Now, we have a lot of people that have to vote the same way to make those things happen. Long story short, she asked the question, where do politicians get their money? And I said, what do you mean? She said, they get paid. And she said, so they get paid and I said, yeah, they get paid really well to run this country. It starts, you know, what you usually start as a mayor and you usually make nothing as a mayor. And then you may make it, in city council and you go up to the governor and then senator. And next thing you know, you're making your Tommy Tuttle rule. Next thing you're making 3,000 or 4,000. And she says, so when they need something, what do they do? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, like, say I'm in politics and I need a new car. What do I do? And I said, it's a great question. She said, like Donald Trump, when he wants to go out and have dinner, where's that coming from? Like if he just wants to go out and all of a sudden just spend $1,500 on a new jacket or something, who's paying for that? And I said, well, we are. We're paying for that. And so I said, so she's like, so everyone in Congress right now, she's like, everyone's got a credit card. And I was like, yeah. And it's probably open.
Basically,
it's probably open ended and there's probably no limit on it. And they probably don't pay their own credit card. They probably just turn it into expenses and it comes back no matter how much it is. And as long as it's not like in the millions, probably no one even blinks at it. No one even looks at it. And that's what Donald Trump's trying to do right now is he's going into all these rat holes and all these rabbit holes. And he's basically doing an audit on the government from top. And he's even said the military's next.
There hasn't been one done in maybe half a century.
Hell, we're up for audits. I mean, I've been audited. I'm being audited right now.
Yeah.
I'm making $70,000 a year. My ass is being audited. So the government should be audited. And so he's like, I'm going to go through every chain of command, even the military, and find out where we can cut some waste. And, you know,
and I'm going to put the smartest technical geeks on this because they're going to be able to access the information. And that's what's causing Washington to have an absolute meltdown. Nobody voted for these guys, but Tony, they don't have any powers to call anybody for a subpoena or whatever. It's done in coordination with Congress, who had both the Senate and the House both have DOGE committees. So once the findings of these people, it's no different than having a really good staff, but they're acting like these people are like have taken dictatorial
power. Well, they're freaking out.
They're freaking out because they're being investigated. Now everybody's got to show.
It's a constitutional crisis.
It's exactly. It's like I'm dealing with another court thing in my a discovery. Discoveries suck. You basically have to write down everything you know about everything you know. Period.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. And so now everyone, all of a sudden, everything was status quo. You spend your money, you do your thing, and next thing you know, we've got a brand new boss. And they're going section by section. I remember having a brand new GM. They're like, we want this radio station to run as efficiently as possible. So we're going to go by and I'm going to meet with each one of you. And we're going to find out what your job is, what your job entails. Are you doing more or are you doing less? Do you need to be doing this, that, and the other? And we'll go section by section. So we went through programming and we went through continuity. We went through commercials. We went through to try to make it run better. And there were a bunch of people, quite frankly, that weren't doing shit that we didn't need. And so we got rid of them, and they've been there for years. Unfortunately, I was one of them.
Well, you know, there was a great story real quick back when I used to do like motivational speaking for employees and organizations and stuff. There was a great story about a guy who takes over a company and, you know, he does his due diligence and finds out who he wants to keep and who he thinks he needs to replace. And he brought in a guy and goes, we're going to have to let you go. And he goes, I've been here for 24 years. I've shown up every day. I've performed. I deserve the best of treatment possible because I've been so loyal to this company. And he goes, well, so what do you do? My routine's the same every day. He goes, that's the problem. You've done the same thing for 24 straight years, 365 days a year, and you've never contributed anything to make this company more efficient or allowed to progress. So we can't use you anymore.
That's right.
And that's kind of the attitude of government. Well, we've been established at some point. It's not a constitutional crisis, Tony, because none of these agencies, the USAID, the Department of Education, FEMA, all of these created entities are not mentioned in the Constitution because the founders had no intention of the federal government being in charge of any of this stuff.
No.
It needs to be on the state and local level. We don't need a gargantuan federal government. It's just a gravy train. And that's why they're freaking out because, you know, one of these congressmen is going home and the old lady's going, well, what about the house in Palm Beach we're building?
You know, this is right? You know, it started years and years and years ago when we used to hear this, what is now no longer a myth, that the government was paying $75,000 for a hammer. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that back in the days? We were like, wait a minute. So, you go to Home Depot and get a hammer for $23. Well, when we buy one at the government, it's $34,000. And I remember when Donald Trump, I think he did it with Air Force One. Did he not the first time around? Said, why the hell are we paying Boeing $8 million for this airplane? Why can't have it built for $1 million and save the taxpayer some money? It's like when the government buys, they buy thumbtacks for like $15 a piece, where you can get them for like 3 cents a piece if you just go to Taiwan and buy a bag of them. So I certainly get that, and I hope that happens. But I thought that was really interesting, and I just wanted to talk about a little bit that I need to know. It's a great show. Need to know. I listen to it every single week as I record it, and I wouldn't miss it for the world anyway. But it runs 5 times a week on TKR, and then of course we do Kiefer and Curry. Make sure you check that show out. And thanks to my 12-year-old daughter for giving me. She's so stinking smart.
That's great.
And she
stuff.
Throws out these great questions.
And a very good question. But the simplest answer is it comes from me, you, and everybody who has a job. Every check we get, there's a big chunk gone. And guess where it goes? To Washington, D.C. to finance all of these people and whatever they want to do.
So she also is a part of our second part of our discussion here on Kiefer and Curry.
Okay.
And that is last night. I'm sitting there watching the Super Bowl halftime show. She said, I got to watch Kendra Lamar. And I said, okay. And she goes, do you know who he is? I said, yeah. As a matter of fact, he was on the Super Bowl. I try to be pretty cool. I said, yeah, he was actually on the Super Bowl two or 3 years ago. I said, now, well, I recognize some of his music, probably some of it, but I don't own any of his music. And it's not my type of music. She goes, well, I love Kendra Lamar. And I'm da 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 da. So he comes on. It's like, you know, I'm like during the first half, I'm like, everyone shut up. Dad's watching the Super Bowl. Well, she was like that at halftime. Everyone shut up. Lila's watching the Super Bowl halftime show. And I said, okay, let's do it. So she's watching. The next thing she's, SZA, SZA. And I was like, what's SZA? She goes, that black woman, that's SZA. And I was like, it's S-E-A. I didn't have no clue who SZA was. I had no, and I didn't know about the Not Like Us whole story between Kendrick Lamar and Drake. Then I see Serena Williams and I'm like, why the hell is Samuel she on stage? Jackson. And Samuel Jackson. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I didn't realize that Serena dated Drake. And this was a song that he wrote where he called Drake a pedophile. And there was a lawsuit, blah, 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 blah. So everyone's waiting for this song. And I'm like, this is pretty juicy stuff. This is really good stuff. My point being though, is my 12-year-old daughter knew more songs at halftime than I did. And I felt like there was a crossing of the guard. There was a handing of the torch. There was something where I kind of felt like, and I turned 59 in March. I'm a young 59. I get after it. I think young. I feel young. I say things that are young. People always used to love to listen to me on the radio because Tony Curry tells it like it is. He's not afraid to piss anybody off. And for the first time in my life in a long time, I kind of felt like life had kind of finally gotten past me. It kind of passed me by because I used to love watching halftime shows, Bruce Springsteen, The Who.
Oh, yeah.
We can go on it because it used to be rock and roll. And just in case you're wondering, and people probably don't, George Burns was a halftime show at a Super Bowl at one point. Andy Williams was a halftime show. Anita Bryant did Up With People. She was a halftime show. And not until Super Bowl 25, when they had a band called, what was that band called? Called New Kids on the Block. Do you remember New Kids on the Block? New Kids on the Block. Now, up until like Super Bowl 25, which, you know, we're at 59 now. So it's been 34 years. It's not like it's been recent. But up until 25, it was always like a church group or a local marching band or Anita Bryant or maybe a celebrity that would come up on stage for a few minutes and do a comedy set or something like that. But it wasn't like it is now. Now it is like, I mean, it is bigger than the game itself. And then after New Kids on the Block, I think it was 2 years later in Super Bowl 27, Michael Jackson was at the Super Bowl, and that's when it blew up. That's when Michael Jackson was at a halftime show. That's when, okay, that's when they changed the rules of the game. Okay, you don't get a 20-minute halftime. It's a 30-minute halftime because Michael Jackson's playing. I mean, they changed the time for the halftime because Michael Jackson. And from that point on, it just got bigger and bigger and bitter. Now, the last few years, Rihanna, Jennifer Lopez, Shakira, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, The Weeknd, Usher. I don't know these artists. I hear their songs on commercials. I know some of their music, and I appreciate the fact that the youngsters are really loving these bands, but it's also telling me that my favorite sport is no longer trying to lure me in. And that bothers me a little bit. It bothers me.
We had this discussion at NBA games. Play that music the entire while they're playing.
Exactly. While they're playing hip-hop music.
It sends the message, hey, old white guys, we're not really interested in you.
We don't want your money anymore. We don't care what disposable income you have. And I thought, you know, the demo's always been 25-54. For people who don't know, and Kip knows this better than anybody, 20 males, 25-54. You always wanted the 25-54 demo. If you had the male demo, 25-54, you had the money demo because that's where all the money was. And then you would go females and you would go persons, 25-54, and then maybe 18-24. And then, but after 54, man, it was like you were set in your ways. You just leave those people alone. It doesn't matter. Well, radio expanded, got older. And of course, then we had news talk. We had sports radio. We had to start going after some of those older people. It's not to say that, and there's actually like a 75 plus demo. You can actually look at it. It's because people that old don't listen to the radio. They just don't. Most older people by that time aren't really getting in the cars and cranking it up at stoplights and stuff like that. And I get that. Although I think people our age, we still have a lot left in the tank to give. And so last night was the first time where I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give myself to this halftime show, and I'm gonna give everything I've got to try to enjoy it. And I did. I am a programming guy. I looked at it from an artistic standpoint. I looked from it from a camera standpoint. I even saw there was a demonstrator. Did you know there was a demonstrator last night that held up a Sudan
flag? I did not realize that.
There was a demonstrator.
I wasn't
I have to admit, I was not paying close attention like you were. I'll tell you real quick, my circumstance, my son had all of his friends over and a lot of their girlfriends and a lot of people here. It's an interesting experience to be twice as old as every other guest at the event. And that's exactly what I was, because these are late 20s, early 30s folks. So basically I'm 25 or 30 years older than everybody in the room. And when halftime came up, we played a game all night. You buy chips and we bet on what's going to be the next commercial, what color shirt a guy's going to be wearing, what animal's going to be next.
Oh, that's cool. Plays.
I mean, it's a constant betting game. Yeah. It's this possession for who's going to bet that the Eagles score a touchdown. Who's going to bet the Eagles punt or have a turnover? So you got all this action going on, and then they're betting on which song's going to come up next on the halftime show. Tony, I was a non-combatant. I couldn't name a Kendrick Lamar song if you gave me a year and a half. And as the song, they go, oh yeah, I have that one, and they're collecting their chips, and I'm going, this is the song you were anticipating? Because to me, it doesn't even sound like a song. It's more like just this staccato kind of, I don't know, you know, I'm a lyrics guy.
I think, and just go with me for, is it anything like older people felt in the 50s when they started hearing Elvis Presley for the first time, when people started hearing rock music for the first time?
Do
you think that's what it was like? Because we get that, but I mean, I can understand where some people
I think this is a bigger departure than that, because, you know, even the old songs had lyrics and you could kind of understand what they were saying. And maybe I'm just tuned out.
Kendrick Lamar could have been cussing and dropping N words all night I looked at my daughter.
The style isn't like, well, I don't know. The first thing was like, it was like the old Federal Express commercial. He was rattling off like 300 words a second. I don't know what he was saying.
I love hearing old people talk. Sometimes I see those damn progressive commercials. Don't be like your parents. I am that person now. Yeah, I am the one out washing my garbage can.
And look, if the younger generation, everybody, if this is what's popular now, I have no right to step up and say, you know, that you people are stupid. Or I mean, because
I'm the one that's still Venmoing me. You know, they're still Venmoing me. And when you stop Venmoing me, you can have your own thoughts and your own opinions on shit. When you stop asking me for money or stop asking me for a place to live, or stop asking me to pay your car insurance, you can say whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. I don't care. But as long as you keep Venmoing me, you know, say, yeah, I need cash by the end of the halftime.
Well, they invited me to the party, so I was honored for that.
Oh, that's cool.
The price of admission for me was just having to buy all the food for the party. For that, I got a seat at the table.
There you go. That's good. It's interesting because it's kind of like you start checking your vanity in life. Like I'm on television, you're on television, we do this show on ABC 3340, and we do it every Saturday. I do some things on Fox 6, and I've noticed this incredibly gray, almost look like I got a raccoon thing going on. I don't see it because I look at my face every day, and I don't recognize the subtle differences in my face and my hair. And so I looked on TV, and I'm like, good Lord almighty, I've got a lot of gray, because television just does strange things to you. It does add weight to you, and TV does no justice. If you look good on TV,
blinks.
It really doesn't. And they say it never lies, but it has to sometimes, because I see some people. I saw a young lady this morning though, I know is gorgeous, and on television she just didn't look that good. And when I saw her, God, I was just, TV did not do you justice. I didn't tell her that because it would have been being critical.
Oh, you're offensive.
Yeah. But I asked my hairdresser, you know, is there anything? She's like, Tony Curry's going to put some gloss in. And I used to like get my tips done just to do something different summertime. It wasn't a vain thing. It wasn't to look younger, but I was like, you know what? I'm gonna ask you to put something in the side of my hair to get some of that. And I was always one of those guys where I'm gonna go out graceful. I'm not gonna get Botox. I'm not gonna get liposuction. I'm not gonna do any of that crap. And now I'm finding myself at this point in my life where I'm thinking to myself, you know, to be vain is not a good thing in our lives. And so it's like, okay, do I want to fight to stay up with what's going on in this crazy ass world of ours? Do I want to learn the new computer stuff? Do I want to win the chat? You did a show on this thing, chat GPT, which was fantastic, that I had no clue about. I didn't even know what you were talking about. And you brought it up and you were answering questions in your voice. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. And now, of course, that was just like a year ago. Now it's the biggest thing, you know, since sliced bread. It's on AI is just like, it's unbelievable. And, but I remember, you know, I remember going through Subtle Differences at work saying, hey, listen, we're no longer going to do tape. Now we're going to go digital. I'm like, no. And I would wear that 8-track tape out. We had 8-track tapes. We had big 8-track tapes, not 8-track tapes like the ones you stick in the car, but 8-track tapes were the size of your head. There were 8 different tracks on them. You could record everything. And I love using 8-tracks because I was good at it. And then when we started going digital and you had to start pushing buttons and there was nothing to splice. I'm just like, you know, it's kind of like, but you know, and now we got electric cars. I don't know. And I find out that all of a sudden Donald Trump's our president and he's rolling back all the electric car stuff. I was like, good. That's a good one for the old people. You know, let's go dig up some coal and let's burn something. Let's dig, baby, dig. Anyway, I feel pretty good where I'm at turning 59. I do hope there is another before I die. I hope there's another band that I can really get my rocks off on. The only one I could think of is AC/DC. I think AC/DC would work because so many stadiums play so much of their music every single weekend. They play Thunderstruck. They play You Shook Me All Night Long. They play Highway to Hell. They play Back to Black. I mean, anytime you go to a UAB game or an Alabama football game, Alabama football uses Thunderstruck to open up their games. The players come running on the field to Thunderstruck and you only got 13 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, but I do remember watching The Who. And it was one of the worst shows I've ever seen. I watched it because they were
10 years too late.
It was 10 years too late. And I remember they had more lights than anything I'd ever seen. You could have landed a 100 airplanes at one time, but it was because the music sucked. It was because they sounded so bad. They had to have something that was pleasant or to the ears, to the eyes. And you know, so while we're going through the new Katy Perry thing and the Bruno Mars and all those things, I invite all the changes and stuff, but there is a little piece of me that, you know,
I'll
call my bookie and make a bet on the game. Yeah, I can still do that.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic and an interesting question culturally, because still, I would like to see the breakdown on the overall audience for that, because I can't imagine our demographic is like, it can't be one of the, it's got to be one of the most dominant of that group. But again, they're so determined to target other aspects of the marketplace that we're just taking it for granted. Well, they're going to watch anyway, so we don't have to present anything pleasing for them. It's really an interesting cultural discussion right now, because you know, you watch the Grammys and everything. This is the kind of music that's being emphasized. And you know, again, I can't criticize it if a lot of younger contemporaries, if that's what they're into, that's what they're into. And you made a good correlation before, or were people saying the kind of things we're talking about right now, back in the day of Elvis and the Stones and the Beatles, when that transition took place, I'm sure there were a lot of get off my lawn old guys going, this is terrible. You know, remember they're criticizing the Beatles for having long hair, barely to their ears. And death, good grief.
Well, you know, and then it's like they threw one at us when they did the Harrison Ford commercial, which I thought was I knew it was a sappy, I knew it was a Jeep commercial because I saw Jeep at the beginning of the commercial. And I thought, good Lord, could you just give it up? And then, of course, at the end, he kind of made the joke that, wow, I'm even driving a vehicle. It's not my name, Ford. He said Ford. I'm looking at some of the stuff here. Despite high expectations. I didn't think
the commercials were very good. Did you?
No. No, I did not.
Remember, people used to watch the Super Bowl for the commercials.
Yeah.
If you're watching for the commercials now, you're going to be bored shitless because they're just bad.
The cowboy, cowboy hat head thing was really bizarre to me. The Martha Stewart thing was kind of strange. I thought the Budweiser commercial, the weekend, guys, where they were cooking out back in the cul-de-sac. I thought that was funny. 123.7 million viewers last year. It did not surpass that. 37 million U.S. households watched the game. It's a 5% decline from last year, which really surprises me. The halftime show featuring Kendrick Lamar drew 8.8 million U.S. households, down 4% from Usher last year. So maybe we weren't, you know, missing out too much on this thing. I'm trying.
I asked my son and his friends last night, because, you know, there's all these people on the field for, you know, I guess are they the audience? The stands isn't enough. I said, do all these hosers get to go to the game? And Clay goes, no, there's a separate ticket just to be on the field for halftime. I said, really? That's crazy. Well, what about all these dancers and stuff? Do they get to go to the game? And nobody can answer that question.
They do. I mentioned one of the 400 dancers that were on stage with Kendrick Lamar walked out and had a flag that had Sudan and the Gaza Strip written on it. And he put it up during the halftime show. And so you could see it. Of course, you know, social media went crazy. They had him taken off and arrested during the song that he was playing. And you know what they got him for? He is no longer allowed to ever see an NFL game live in person for the rest of his life. That was his treatment. They're like, because they've let him go on stage, they let him be part of the show, and he used it for alternative motive. But I didn't know. Biggest year-over-year gain Super Bowl viewership last year, and I'm just going to give you last year's numbers because the ones are out. Women 18 to 24 was up 24% from last year.
Taylor Swift factor.
Yeah, sure. Men 18-24 placed second with a 20% increase. Girls 12 to 17 were third. That's amazing. That's amazing. Those three demographics combined had averaged 1.81 million more viewers than last year. Viewership increased 6% among women 25 to 54 and boys 2 to 17, in line with the overall average across CBS and Univision, and just 1% in men 25-54. That's amazing. The main CBS telecast actually declined among men 25-54, with the universe and simulcast making up the shortfall. The overall 25-54 demographic was just up about 3%, easily the smallest gain in the major adult demographics. Viewership increased 6% in adults 18 to 49. We're talking numbers and people are listening. They don't have no clue, but you and I do know that. That's amazing to me because so men 25-54. Well, this is interesting now. So we've reached our peak. Men 25-54, there's no reason to go after men 25-54 because there's no more of us out there. In other words, if you're 48 years old, you're kind of set in your ways. It's kind of like if you wear tidy whities and you're 50, you're going to wear tidy whities for the rest of your life. Once you turn 50, you're going to drive a Buick, you have tidy whities, you're not going to change your ways. But we just don't. Men don't change their ways after the age of 50. And so what they're saying to us is if you're in that age group between 25 and 54, there's no reason we need to spend money on trying to lure you in because you're either in or you're out. They're not going to be. While other demographics were moving 25 to 30%, the men 25-54 was moving 1 to 2%. It's not worth the money to spend. Not when you spend an $8 million for a 30-second commercial. That makes sense to me.
You know, I think I mentioned to you off the air. A lot of the young women here last night, you know, there were a lot of 25 to 32, 33 year olds. They were all expecting, I guess was a big rumor, that Travis Kelce was going to propose to Taylor Swift after the game.
How'd that work?
And they were still speculating at halftime when it was 24 to nothing that was going to happen. And a couple of the guys, including my son, said, you guys are out of your mind. There is no way with the Chiefs getting clobbered that's going to happen. And they were all like defiant, saying, well, you know, that shouldn't matter.
let me ask you this. That's the fifth Super Bowl in the last 6 years. They have won four, correct?
Yes.
In the last 7 years. So that would have been their fifth. And I know people talk about dynasties, depending on what you want to consider a dynasty. No one's ever won back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls, and they still haven't.
Nope.
The Eagles, and I thought it was really interesting too, because they were talking about the Eagles. The Eagles not only beat a team last night trying to set history, but they also did it against the New England Patriots. Do you remember? Because the Patriots won the Super Bowl on either side of the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Philadelphia Eagles single-handedly have kept the New England Patriots from winning back-to-back-to-back titles. And of course, the Kansas City Chiefs back-to-back-to-back championships, which is really amazing and good for Philadelphia. What do we remember? They're showing Taylor Swift last night, not on the television, but on the screens down at the Caesars Superdome, and people were booing. My daughter was showing me the phone. She's like, look at this. They're booing Taylor Swift. And of course, she was about ready to cry. And I said, honey, I said, they're just tired of her. They're tired of seeing her. I mean, we see her every single, but they were showing pictures of her from her suite and people were booing. I mean, it was loud, right? And I see Kelsey, you know, like a little dog, you know, with zero catches at halftime. He'd been targeted four times. I think he dropped three of them. He ended up having four catches in the night. But I mean, he looked like he'd just been smacked upside the head. And everyone's like wondering what the hell's going on. This is with a half a football left. So what are we, does it all depend on what happens next year with Kansas City and how we remember this team? I mean, obviously they've won a lot of Super Bowls and they're one of the greatest teams. They've had one of the greatest runs in any sport of any time. But I mean, yep. Losing a game like that when you had so much on the line, it almost reminds me of that year of the New England Patriots when they were trying to be the first undefeated team. They were trying to go 18-0. Remember, they lost to, of course, the Giants. And,
yeah,
and that's when they were favored by like 12, 13, 14, 15 points over everybody. They were the you could not make the line high enough. And I think they were favored by 12.
It can't be overstated that this line was virtually even. Yeah. We talked about on all of our shows on TV, on our podcast, on our K4 Wins broadcast. I said it, quote unquote, the Eagles roster is much better than the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. The Eagles should win this game because if you just looked at it from a sheer talent standpoint, the Eagles just exceeded the Chiefs in just about every category except for maybe head coach and quarterback. And Jalen Hurts showed that he's no stiff because the Chiefs historically had done a great job of taking away the running game from their opponents. It's one of the reasons they've won so many Super Bowls. Usually the team that can control the line of scrimmage is the one who wins, but the Eagles just dominated the line of scrimmage. Yep. And football's a simple game, Tony, when you get down to it. It's that battle in the trenches, your offensive line against their defensive line and vice versa. And the Eagles just absolutely dominated that category last night. They just pushed the Chiefs around, and the defensive players for the Eagles. There's four guys that won two national championships at Georgia, mm-hmm. and now have a Super Bowl in the last 4 years. You talk about streaks, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Keely Ringo, Nolan Smith, so you've got guys with the pedigree and the size and the speed. There's a reason Georgia won back-to-back national championships, only lost one game in 4 years. And it was all these generational defensive players, which give the Eagles credit. They've gathered them all up, drafted them. They've got a whole roster of Alabama and Georgia guys. And who were the two most dominant college programs in the last 10 years? Yep. Georgia, Alabama. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we even saw Devontae get a nice catch there, too. It was really, man, good to see. Good,
yeah,
to
he's
see
Alabama people catch. Forget he's a Heisman Trophy winner. Unbelievable. He's the second receiver behind A.J. Brown.
I know, unbelievable, and it was a hell of a catch, too. I feel like I got duped. I'm glad I was on the winning side. I mean, I there's nothing wrong with winning games like that when you get to the Eagles plus one and it's 24-0 at half.
Because I think we basically settled on the Eagles were the logical bet.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about
that. No, all of us did. Yeah.
This is not an upset.
No, it wasn't. But we didn't expect it to be 34-0.
Well, of course not.
And you never expect that. And if I've watched football for 59 years, I know there's going to be games like this. I understand that. And it can happen in a national championship game with your best player on the mound. I get that. I guess you just don't expect it from a team like the Chiefs, who have come, because all year long you've been harping on this, man, how many one score games they won. They are great in close ball games.
Yeah.
But we never seen Patrick Mahomes was down more than any other game in his career.
Yeah, it was the play that turned it all around. I think the Eagles had kicked, the Chiefs had held them to a field goal. It was 10-0. The very first snap when the Chiefs get the ball back, you're thinking, okay, they're going to drive this time. They got completely away from the run game. They got desperate. He was throwing the ball. A pick six right then by the Eagles was the play that just completely changed that game. All of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes made that mistake. It was 17-0. Game over. This game is over.
Yeah.
People were still saying, well, you know, the Chiefs, you know, they'll make a run and they'll do this and that. But I mean, the Eagles took away the Chiefs approach by dominating the line of scrimmage. You mentioned before when we were talking six sacks in the game against Mahomes. There could have been a dozen. Mahomes was like Houdini, got away from pressure, but he was under duress the whole game. The Eagles defensive line absolutely dominated that game.
No, you're right. I'm sitting here looking at what some of the numbers are for next season already, because and there you go, the Super Bowl odds for next season. Have you seen any of these numbers?
No, Case on this day last year bet the Chiefs at 9-1 to win it. So Case Kiefer denied on his $500 bet, because the day after the Super Bowl last year, he bet the Chiefs at 9-1.
The Eagles are plus 650, which sounds like a pretty good number. Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Detroit Lions are seen as early challengers for the Eagles, plus 700. Kansas City 750, Detroit is 800 to win the Super Bowl.
I think Baltimore probably had the best team this year. It would have been a lot better Super Bowl if it had been Baltimore, Philadelphia. I think they were the two best teams for sure.
So in order, you got Philadelphia, Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City, Detroit, San Francisco plus 1,400. The Bengals are plus 1,800.
There you go. Get your money in, Tony.
Hey, as bad as their defense was, they were one game away. They were up 30 points one game. I know
they could have been right in the mix.
Green Bay, Washington's plus 2,000. Houston's 2,500. Chargers, Rams, Minnesota Vikings, all 3,500. That's surprising. Buccaneers plus 3,500. It sounds like a deal. The Bears are 4,000. Denver, Miami, 4,000. Atlanta, 6,000.
Atlanta.
Yeah, and then the last place is, you got Tennessee and the Giants plus 20,000 and plus 30,000. There you go.
If you're we had a Giants fan here last night, a good friend of my son's, Riley Blackman, who's a Giants fanatic, has been a Giants fan all his life. How do you feel watching Saquon Barkley runs for 2,000 yards if you're a Giants fan? Yikes.
Yeah, and I mean, you could make the same argument with Derrick Henry, too, in the way he ran for the Baltimore Ravens. I really thought it was the Ravens' year just because I thought, man, the running back is such an interesting piece to the National Football League right now, because you're talking about he set the most records or the records for the most yards through a season and the playoffs last night. He rushed the ball 25 times for 53 yards. And this guy was, by any other measure, the MVP of the entire league. And the guy averaged 2.1 yards per carry last night, and they blow them out. I mean, it's just, isn't that weird? Because we sit there, and you said it. You said, you know, if you can keep them under 100 yards, they should win the football game. Well, they kept them at 53 yards, and they blew them out. So does that mean the running back's important? Does it mean you'd have to have a good one just in case? I don't even know what that means.
Well, I had the stat on our show. The Chiefs in 18 consecutive playoff games had not allowed a 100-yard rusher. So obviously, that's their defensive philosophy. We're taking the running game away, and we'll take our chances. They'll have to make plays throwing the ball, and Jalen Hurts was more than up to that challenge because the Eagles have a lot of other weapons. Barkley just set the table extremely well, but when you have that kind of multi-dimensional and Hurts with his legs, and good prediction by Tony, got to give him some props. He said Jalen Hurts as MVP was a great bet. You nailed that one for sure. Jalen Hurts, as we agreed on our podcast, was the key player in that game. It wasn't Barkley. It wasn't Mahomes. If Jalen Hurts steps up, if the Chiefs do take the running game away, can Jalen Hurts answer the call? Case pointed out Jalen Hurts, one of his best games ever was 2 years ago against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, where he threw for 320 yards and they lost 38-35. But Jalen was spectacular last night, both with his arm and his legs.
Man, here's a guy that got benched during a national championship game.
Unbelievable. He left,
goes to Oklahoma, comes up short for a Heisman Trophy, and next thing you know, he's winning the Super Bowl. Kids, if you think that you can't do it and you want to quit, you want to give up, man, just look at Jalen Hurts and look at the life he's done. And he's done it remarkably fast, too. I mean, how old is he? 24, 25 years old?
He's probably 26 now, but But yeah, that's he's great. Still a young guy.
Crazy stuff. All right, my man, we'll get ready and do it up again on Saturday. Looking forward to getting into some college hoops, baby. SEC basketball is on fire.
Alabama Auburn on Saturday in T-Town. That is going to be something. We looked at tickets last night, a little even out of Kip Kiefer's league, so you know they're really expensive.
Yeah, I know. They're getting a little big for their britches, aren't they?
Even like the worst nosebleed and Coleman Coliseum. Okay, Alabama, you've made millions of dollars from the Saban era. Build a freaking arena that's worth a damn. I know, Coleman Coliseum sucks. It's built like this, Tony. So if you get a cheap seat, you're not even high.
Oh, I know. Wait, you're out.
You're so far back. It's ridiculous. Coleman Coliseum is such a barn. But I got to give myself props on K4 wins. I said, take the Florida Gators over Auburn. The Gators take down the number one Tigers. So race is on.
Waiting for my wings at B-dubs. And I see Florida and I saw Bruce Pearl down more than he's ever been at Auburn. I was like, whoa, I didn't even realize what was going on. They were down by 17 or 20 or something at the time. So great pick, my man. Yeah, we've been on fire, bro. All right, go to K4wins.com for all of our plays. Make sure you watch ABC 3340. I got a special guest, I believe. We have Spy for Rent coming in this week, so one of our great sponsors will be in to show us some surveillance stuff, and we'll get ready to talk some hoops. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right, Tony, thank you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.